Well, those are not going to work either. Now, if this pair of batteries doesn't work, we'll have to have some emergency reinforcements. Awesome. Yep. Every one of these needs to be filed. Thank you very much. Uh-oh. Mm. Man, oh man, some lessons are hard to learn. Tough. Thank you, Brother Dave. Amen. All right, we're on. Very good. Well, it's good to see everyone who made it back out to the Lord's house tonight. Sure, I'm glad that you're here.
Time being here. I'm so fat I can't reach around the front of my seat up here. You can't do this at the big city church either. You can't do that.
Oh my goodness. Well, hopefully you've had a good afternoon. I had a chance to get a little bit of rest. And I thought it was kind of funny. I'm in the study. I've got my computer up there, and I hadn't started wrestling with the computer just yet. I wrestled with the computer some today. Not physically, but almost. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Amen. I nearly used the new dumpster with my computer today. One of those deals, yeah. And but anyway, I'm sitting in there in the study, and, you know, the Collins kids, they own the place, so they just kind of barge right on in. You know, they barge right on into the study. Lydia comes in here, and she just gets in the chair, crawls right up on my lap, and says, "What you doing? I want to sit with you." I said, "Okay." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm looking at the computer like that. I said, "Well, I'm looking over stuff for tonight, and I've got to type some stuff out." She said, "I want to help you." I said, "Well, honey, you can't read." Lydia says, "I can do this." So she could sit right there, put her chin in her hand, and look at the computer screen with me. All righty. So, amen. Which I thought, that's just awfully cute. I needed a little laugh. That was good. And that was before, though, I nearly threw the computer outside. So, anyhow. All righty. Let's look at Titus chapter number 2. I'm going to read some very familiar passages. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Not only is this passage very familiar, it is extremely controversial. And we're going to consider a few things tonight that we need to consider. And I don't know, I had originally planned on simply looking at this tonight, but because of computer issues, perhaps we're going to be looking at these over the next couple of Sunday evenings, Lord willing. Lord willing. So, Titus chapter number 2, and look in verse number 1. The Bible says, this is Paul writing to Titus on the island of Crete, that he'll straighten some things out there on the island. And regarding the church, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men," old fellas, some of us get gray in our hair, we're not yet aged men, but, I hate to say it, we ain't young men. Our minds might say, "You can do that." Your body says, "You need to buy an extra bottle of ibuprofen when you go to town." Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. "But the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." You will not hear that passage read at the National Organization of Women's National Conference, except it be in derision, hatred, vitriol. You won't see that. But that's what God says. Let me go ahead. We're going to read the first five verses. I'm going to look at verse number six since we have some young men. Verse six, young men. You young man, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. What does that mean? What does that word sober mean? You ought to think clearly. The opposite of sober is drunk. Some young men are completely drunk on entertainment, the pleasures of the world, and things of that nature. Some young men, the only thing they can do is they have the strongest thumbs in the Midwest. Now, whether it's a phone, whether it's a video game, whatever it happens to be. But a young man needs to be sober-minded because God expects you to step into leadership a little bit later on in life. And pretty soon, you'll be the aged men who need to be sober, grave, sound in faith, etc. And God expects you right now, Dylan, David, and this point in time, to get ready to move on to that next level. All right? And then he says this, young men, in verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Young men, are you a pattern of good works? Could we look at your life and see this is how a Christian is supposed to act? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Wow, do you even know what the right doctrine is? Gravity, sincerity. You know, young men, 75 years ago, lied about their age to get into the military to go fight across the waters. And now, if you raise your voice, they need a safe space. How about manning up? Now, I don't think I'm talking to any young men in here. I don't think so. David's a worker. Dylan's a worker. Dylan likes to work. I mean, he's begging for stuff to do and we're having a work day out here. But it's so sad, you come across some young men today, they're young males. They have a Y chromosome, but that's about all they have going for them. They don't have a desire to get out and to do anything. Now, I'm not saying you got to go off and be, you know, Kit Carson or Daniel Boone or somebody like that and go out and strike off into the wilderness and go fur trapping in the Colorado Rockies, but sometimes that's just an appealing thought to a man, even one my age. Amen. I think I may have mentioned this, but there was a young man came by our home church in Tennessee. He was probably within 10 years of me, maybe even closer than that, and where he was going in the Amazon, he was going to unreached people groups, went to National Geographic, United States Geological Survey, went somewhere to get some maps of the region of the Amazon, and when they found out where he was going, they looked and said, sir, there are no maps where you're going. How about that? You don't see that. I don't know how I got on that. I'm not even preaching to young men tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and get you all I got you. Amen. I mean, it's right here. So uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, young men, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So young men, you ought to be uncorrupt in doctrine. You ought to be sound in speech. You ought to be a pattern of good works. How about that? Pretty good stuff right there, isn't it? That's some tall order biblical commands to live up to. They are. But thank the Lord He sets the bar high so that at least if we jump and miss it, we're going to be jumping a little higher than we would with the bar be a whole lot lower. All right. But I'm going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5 tonight in reference to what is going on in our nation for the last month and a half. We'll talk about that here momentarily. Father, we pray that You'd bless the Word tonight. We're grateful for Your goodness. We pray that You'd bless what we have read in Your hearing. I pray that You'd help these young folks here tonight to be exhorted, the young men we've already exhorted, and I pray that You would help them to look at these verses and to take heed to them in their own lives. And Father, we pray that You'd be glorified in all that's done. And we'll thank and praise You, Lord, for Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hold on just a second. We'll take the little people Ferris wheel that's under the pulpit. I'll move it out of the way. Amen. All righty. Now, we're not going to read the entire article here, But this is July the 23rd, and some of this goes back into June, some discussion of it, but this is from the New York Post. It says this, that the Senate defense budget bill would require women to register for the draft. A Senate panel's newly approved defense budget includes a provision requiring women to register for the draft. Changes to the draft, officially known as the Selective Service System, were made official in the National Defense Authorization Act, the annual military budget bill, and announced have been approved Thursday. The NDAA, quote, amends the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women for selective service, end quote, a summary of the bill reads. So, the language specifically strikes explicit references to men, changing the requirements from males to all Americans. Now, we could continue reading on, but that's pretty much the gist of what I wanted to look at. The Senate is split 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats, though Vice President Harris, as Senate President, has a tie-breaking vote, but it's still not enough to get everything pushed through to break a filibuster and all that good stuff. More we could read on that. But as I was researching this particular bill, the National Defense Authorization Act is the product of the Senate Armed Services Committee. The author of the language of the bill is a senator by the name of Jack Reed, who is from the state of Rhode Island and a Democrat. Surprise, surprise. And basically, his wording of the bill removes the references to males from the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, why are we concerned about this? Why should Christians be concerned about it? There's a lot of misinformation out there. Just as we heard in the past about fake news, I'm going to go ahead and say this. There are also fake biblical interpretations that justify women serving in the military. Can I get a witness on that? Come on now. Amen. We believe in the ladies saying amen too around here, so that's okay. If y'all can shout, amen, y'all can say amen on some of that, so you're not gonna bother me. Why are we concerned about that? The Bible speaks specifically regarding the roles of men and women. Why are we even here in the first place? It's because in our society, there is a cry for equality. But equality does not always mean everybody does the same thing. Nobody is out making room for people 5 foot tall for NBA basketball teams. It just don't happen. It doesn't happen. Nobody makes room for 110-pound water boys to be defensive ends on a college football team. It doesn't happen. Now, it might be funny to watch, but it's not going to happen. Okay? Why is it that we strive for equality in certain areas? I'm going to go ahead and just cut to the chase. It has everything to do with depraved human nature and everything to do with Satan's plan to destroy the home. If you will go to the Black Lives Matter website and you look at their goals, it is really to destroy the nuclear family. Look it up. It's on there. It's there. And that's wickedness. It's wickedness. And that's just one particular avenue that Satan is using to destroy the home. Let me just go ahead and remind us that God is the creator of the home. The very first institution before God created human government, before God ever called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to make the nation of Israel, before God ever had the church. And I've argued with preachers over this. Well, the church was in the Garden of Eden, preacher. No, it wasn't. It was not. The church was not in the Garden of Eden. Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I believe that's future. And if it's future, excuse me, sorry, it wasn't in the Garden of Eden. The very first institution that God ever made was the home. God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you believe that, preacher? Sure as I'm standing here. Sure as I'm standing here, I believe that. Every word of it. And when God went to make a help who was meet for Adam, appropriate for Adam, suitable for Adam, nothing was found for him among the animals whom Adam had named. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took out one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and from that rib he made a woman and brought her to Adam. And he said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." In the Hebrew, it was like, "Wow! Can't believe you made that for me." Sure enough, I did. And what did God do? He took one man, he gave him one woman, and he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." The very first unit that God put together after he had made man individually and the woman individually, he brought them together to make the family. And so we need to understand that God made Adam first. He made the woman. And she was brought as one to come alongside and to help Adam. Adam was given dominion over the garden. The word there carries with it the idea of stewardship. He was to manage the garden. But Adam couldn't do it by himself. Adam needed somebody to work alongside of him for companionship and all that the marriage relationship entails. And so because of that, we as Bible believers look back to the Genesis record and we drive our tent stakes down, if you will, in the Genesis record, and we believe the record that God has given regarding the creation of man, the purpose of mankind, and the purpose of women in the plan of God. God has placed man and woman together in a family. From that marriage relationship, children are born. Sometimes couples don't have children. Sometimes they have many. You like the Thornsleys? They're cheaper by the dozen. Amen. Amen. Some folks have all boys. Some folks have all girls. But at any rate, God is the one who gives life. God's the one who decides what happens. Sometimes God even takes the babies when they're young. We heard about that this week. But here's the thing that I want us to see. God has blessed the family with the children. We are not Spartans in America who believe that we raise our children not for our own family, but for the good of the state. As Christians, we raise our children for the glory of God, for the purpose of God taking our children and blessing them and using them in His service some capacity. It may be in what we call full-time Christian ministry. It may be where a man has a job and he works that job, and as he works that job, he uses that financial means to raise his family and to send the gospel out, whether he goes or whether he helps other families to go, and he and his wife raise their children for the glory of God. They're not raising them for the glory of the state, not raising them as pawns or servants or even to be children of the state. The parents who believe the Bible raise their children for the honor and glory of God and Him alone. Now, as red-blooded Americans, we have no problem defending our country. Everybody knows the reason that Yamamoto and the Japanese did not invade the American mainland is because there was, quote, a gun behind every blade of grass. And I'm thinking to myself, there are that few guns? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, if an invasion were to happen today, whoever came in would have a really, really, really surprising time. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing pushes at the federal level to remove the means of defense and protection out of the hands of the common person. Amen. I am a First Amendment preacher. Freedom of speech, religion, press, peaceful assembly. I am a Second Amendment preacher, and it does not apply to hunting rifles. Can I get a witness? Amen. 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 I believe in 22s. I also like to put a 3 on the end of that. 5.56. Amen. I like them all. 30-30, 8mm, 303, 300 Win Mag. Praise God. I like that kind of math. I can deal in that kind of math.
I'm enjoying that. Now, I said all that to say this. Unlike the Spartans who would raise their children, where their children would actually be forcibly taken away from them, taken to the gymnasium and trained. Not a whole lot unlike what happens in the United States, where the gaping jaws of the yellow bus open up and swallow your children for the day to go off to the state indoctrination location. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I know whereof I speak. I taught in the public high school. I was certified in biology and chemistry and taught some of the best, if you will. I taught, not only did I teach the lowest level entry, I also taught second year chemistry. The stuff where you get where it's difficult, there's a lot of math to it, and you enjoy all the problems and the experiments and all that stuff. So I taught some of the best kids. But not just the classroom material did we cover. There were other things that were taught in addition to that, as you would know. So we don't raise our children for the state. We raise them for the glory of God. So here's the problem. Dad, let me ask you a question. You have daughters living at home. Whether they're 8, whether they're 18, and I'm going to go and say this, whether they're 28. You have daughters at home. What's going to happen when, if this particular bill is passed and becomes law? And to my knowledge, we've not reached that point yet. What's going to happen when your daughter receives that little 3x5 card in the mail that orders her to fill out this card or to go to her local post office and get the form or go online? When I did it, I had to go to the post office. I guess you can go online and do it today. And fill out your information for the Selective Service. What's going to happen? What are you going to do? Do we have a biblical basis to say, no, we are not going to do that? Do we have a biblical foundation? Look, we're not being rabble-rousers. We're not trying to create a stink. We're not trying to be difficult just for difficulty's sake. I understand that whereas the father may say, we don't want you to do that, that it's always in the prerogative of somebody who has got the nature of Adam living on the inside. I'll do what I want to do and I'll just go ahead and buck against what you say and I'm going to do things my own way and I'm going to register for it. That could happen because we're dealing with people with human nature. But let me just ask you a question, Dad. What's going to happen? Dad, did you know that God made you the head of your home? And I don't want to be, well, I say I don't want to be ugly about it. Let me just go ahead and cut all the chase. I apologize for everything that may have, the way, what I say that may offend somebody, but I'm done with the whole apology bit. Let's look at this scripturally. God has made, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, in fact, if you want to just take your Bible, just go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we'll look at that for a minute. We'll come back to Titus in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and let's look at that for a moment. Because I want us to understand this scripturally. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians in verse number 3. And by the way, he's writing to a carnally acting church here. They had a lot of issues. Verse number 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Sir, Christ is your head. Yes, we do obey the powers that be. We obey the government. Police officer says you're doing 65 and a 35, he has every right to give you a citation. Don't pull that my head is Christ when you're breaking the law of man, which, you know, God has said that Romans 13's there, we're to obey the ordinances of man. Get a witness on that. Now I know we all like to go a little fast, I understand that. I like to get to places quick. Somebody give me a witness on that. I know it. Amen, go ahead. That's right. Amen. But the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman, what are the next three words? Is the man. Now, I didn't write that. Hey, if I was writing the Bible, I wouldn't have written that. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, we're not going to tread a lot of deep theological water here tonight talking about the intrapersonal relationships within the Trinity. We're not even going to touch that tonight. But what I do want to touch is this. God has set up an order for society, an order for the home, and when the cylinders fire in the right time, everything runs the way it's supposed to. But here's what man does. Man says, I don't want the cylinders to fire in God's time. I want them to fire the way I want them to fire. I want there to be equality. I want them all to fire at the same time and all to fire equally. Well, that's physically impossible. It cannot happen. What happens when man interjects his own so-called knowledge into the plan of God? What happens? You have chaos and you have confusion. What we see in 1 Corinthians 11, if you will, is God's order. I'll even say it this way, God's chain of command. I remember when I was young, unsaved Catholic, but I was still young. I was under the grace of God. If I'd have died and went to heaven at about 4 years old, 5 years old, I don't went to heaven because I didn't have a clue about sin. I didn't know all that stuff. But I remember telling my daddy this. I remember saying, Dad, you're the boss over Mom. He liked that. She didn't care much for it, but he liked it. Yeah. I said, Mommy's the boss over me. And I had a red Irish setter. And I said, and I'm the boss over Sassy. I recognized that there was a chain of command. As a five-year-old boy, I recognized there was a chain of command. Everybody wants to be a chief and nobody wants to be an Indian. They don't work that way. I know that's not politically correct, but I think we understand what we're talking about. We recognize that God has an order for our homes and really for society. Not only that, let me take a step number two. Not only does God have an order for the home, there are some distinctions within society. What are those distinctions? I know this is controversial, but it's not for Bible believer people. There are two genders. Newsflash. There are male and there are female. Now, I do understand there are some genetic abnormalities in there, but that's what they are. Abnormalities, they're not the norm. Okay? There are different syndromes. There are some folks who have extra X chromosomes. Some folks have an X and an O. Some folks have two Y chromosomes. Men have two Y chromosomes. A lot of times the guys who are in prison and who have very, very, very rough, overbearing characteristics, a lot of times those will have two Y chromosomes. All that being said is there are two genders. There are male and there are female. And that's it. And here's the thing. God has called for those two genders to be distinguished. If I were to get a man up here, like me, and I were to get a woman up here, unlike me, you would be able to tell that there's a difference. Sammy Allen was preaching one time, and he went over to a young lady, and he said, "Hey, young lady, was there any doubt in your mind looking at my haircut that I was a man?" And she said, "No, sir, brother." And he said, "Hey, man, you knew I was a man because you saw I had short hair. Because women have long hair, men have short hair. What is long hair? Hey, it's the opposite to short." Brother Sammy had a way of saying it. He just had a way of saying it. Amen. Amen. So, having said that, there are physical differences between men and women. Physical differences. Fellas, try it all you want. You can't have babies. "Oh no, I feel so sad. I'm scarred. I need a safe place." Grow up. Suck it up, dude. You don't need a safe space. What you need is a mind that thinks clearly. Be a man. Man up. We're not talking about birthing persons. Ladies, you have babies. Don't be ashamed of who God made you. And by the way, don't try to change who God made you. Amen. Amen. You try to tell me that little kids who can't even decide what their favorite color is or which hand they're going to write with can decide whether they want to be male or female? Come on. I mean, teenagers have a hard time deciding if they want to go ahead and take Algebra 2 first or Geometry. They don't need to decide what in the world they're going to do with their body. Come on now. Come on. Male and female are different physically. You might have a Brutus of a woman who just happens to be strong. But wouldn't it be just so silly for a man to enter into a woman's weightlifting contest, which first of all makes me want to gag, but never mind, you know, and lift and break the woman's world record just by virtue of having that extra strength because you're a man? Women and men are different. You're different physically. You're different mentally. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. David, you're figuring that one out. That's right. Ashley, nobody warned you, or we tried, and you didn't pay any attention. Women think differently than men. They think differently. I mean, and you ladies, you realize your husband thinks differently than you do. Don't remind him every 6 months about doing that thing you want him to do. He'll get around to it when there's time. That's right. One of my favorite theologians is Paul Kettle, and he said, "Can't do everything in one day, Ma."
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Amen now. So as we're thinking about, women and men are different. We're different physically. We're different mentally. We need to be different because we are designed differently. I'll go so far as to say this. We not only are different by design, men and women ought to be different when it comes to dress. We ought to be different when it comes to that. And one of the reasons we're having so much trouble in our society telling men and women apart is because guys want to put on women's clothes and women want to put on men's clothes. Help us, Jesus. Listen, if I go up to somebody with long hair and say, "Pardon me, ma'am," and that person says, "Get out of my way." Say, "It's not my fault I thought you were a woman." Right. Cut your hair and look like... Now, I know, I told you, I used to have a little ponytail back in the day. And my dad told me, he said, "Son, if you like living at home, if you really like it, cut your hair." I decided I really liked that bed and mama could cook really good. Sure beat my Pop-Tarts and ravioli. I thought, that's right, so I'll just stay home. I like biscuits and gravy, praise God. Women and men are different. We're different in design. We ought to be different in dress. And there is a purpose that God has made us for. God has placed men in leadership. That doesn't mean that ladies don't have leadership ability. I've seen some women who think more logically, more clearly than their husbands do. Amen. I've seen that. That goes back to the whole thing that women and men think different. God has wired us differently. Now, why are we dealing with this? There are some people who argue that women need to be included in a potential draft. And here's what they'll say. And these are things that came off a particular, I believe this was the ABC News website, which of course is liberal, so I'm going to go ahead and give you some of these. Here are some arguments. Number one, there's a greater need for more educated conscripts. We need to have people who are more educated. And I know a lot of ladies who are much more educated, more intelligent than men are. When I was in high school, the top people in our class were ladies. Top people in our class were ladies. And here I am just struggling to get ahead in algebra. And the gal who's sitting behind me just blows it out the water. So I grew up thinking, number one, women were better at math than men. I hear statistically that's not the case. Well, you've not convinced me. And number two, because the same girl sat behind me, I was an NI, she was an NO, based on the name, I thought, well, we sat beside each other in typing class. She could type faster than I could. So I grew up thinking to myself, man, women can just blow everything out of the water. That's how I grew up. We're different. Definitely different. God's designed us differently. But we all have a particular role based on where God has placed us. If you look in Proverbs 31, we're not going to turn there. It starts off, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? the heart of her husband safely trust, and all those things down there. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Fellas, how would you like to come home? Your wife hands you a deed and said, I went out and bought 25 acres today. What would you do? Yeah. That's probably why you want your husband to have life insurance. That way when he died of a heart attack, then you could pay for the field you just bought. You think about the woman running a cottage industry. We'll say more about that maybe a little bit later. But God has given gender distinctions and gender roles based on creation. Those are carried over into the New Testament. And so what we've read in Titus 2, and again what we just looked at in 1 Corinthians 11, is a basis for our understanding that the gender roles God has created have never been abrogated. They've never been changed. They've not been done away with. And so there's a push for equality. So we have greater need for more educated conscripts, said one person. Number two, one Senate aide. Now I'm not sure which aide it was. It was not, this aide was not named, whether it was a man or a woman. One Senate aide said, quote, not having women involved in selective service of the draft is like fighting with one hand tied behind your back. What's that supposed to mean? Does that mean that we value our ladies and their educational ability and we want them to be in the military? If that's what they mean, I appreciate the show of respect and the confidence that they have. I will at least appreciate that. But that is simply no reason to pull a woman out of the home, take her away from her family, move her to a completely different location, and have her use her educational ability for the good of the state. Someone said this, if we want equality in this country, women should not be discriminated against. That was from Jackie Speier, a Democrat from California. Surprise, surprise. And here's what I always hear. You ready? Here's what I always hear. The times are what? Changing. The times are changing. I know, times are changing. That's really sad. But if you notice that there is a love for the body styles of some of the old vehicles that now we're bringing some of those body styles back, you know why that is? People appreciated the way it was in many ways back there. Yeah, it's a little bit of nostalgia. I get that. But I'm going to tell you, if you look at like an Olds 98, at that four-door sedan body style that don't do a whole lot for you versus whether it's a Mustang, a Camaro, or what. I mean, that's some, there, you know, that's some class, that body style. Why is it that times are changing? Yeah, times are changing. But there's some folks who want to go back. What's right? Well, what does that tell us? That tells us that just because times are changing doesn't mean we have to change with the times. So what we're doing tonight is we're just kind of building a little bit of groundwork this evening. And we're going to talk about this hopefully next week and carry this out a little bit. In Titus chapter number 2, I want you to look at verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Watch this. That they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. First of all, the older ladies. If the older ladies are to teach these things to their husbands, that means they need to have been engaged in those same activities when they were younger women. Does that make sense? Don't teach her how to make biscuits if you don't know how to make biscuits. Right. Amen. They don't come out of a can. Amen. Amen. Now I know we had to compromise during biscuit and gravy night here, and I'm still ashamed and I hang my head about that, but it was still pretty good. Don't get me wrong, they were good. They were good. They didn't come out of a can. They come out of a can, we'll be churching people. I'm just telling you, it ain't the will of God for anybody's life. Biscuits are born on a countertop, not out of a can. Amen. That's right. I'll tell you what comes out of a can, Oscar the Grouch. So I'm not interested in biscuits. That's what I'll be if you pull biscuits out of a can. The ladies who are aged are to teach the younger ladies. And if you will look at what we just read, and I read through them very quickly, they have their own personal character traits given in verse 3, but the traits that they are to teach in verses 4 and 5 are the traits they were to have either one exhibited when they were younger, or two, even if they weren't able to get it all. Let's say they may have had an unbelieving husband. Maybe their husband died when they were younger and they became a widow indeed, as 1 Timothy talks about. They need to be able to teach based on experience. It's one thing to read it out of a book. It's another thing to get your hands dirty. Amen. Whole other thing. Now, look at what the young ladies here are supposed to do. So number one, we have older ladies who are to teach. Number two, we have younger ladies who are to learn. So what that means is we have young ladies who are to learn the traits in verses 4 and 5. If we pick up a young lady out of this church and ship her off, if somebody does, ships her to Fort Benning, takes her down to Lackland, takes her up to the Great Lakes, takes her out to down to Texas, to Lackland, what does that do to the relationship that is being made between the older ladies and the younger ladies in Titus 2? It severs that relationship. What happens to the teaching that is supposed to be engaged in Titus 2? That teaching is no longer going on. No man, and I can say this, no woman can serve two masters. What we see in Titus 2 comprises the role that women are to play in the church. Ladies, you have a super important role. I've got three daughters. Y'all have a hugely important role. We've got younger ladies in this church who need to see what a godly example is like. And as I look here, we could spend a lot of time. It amazes me, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, think clearly, have a clear mind, to love their husbands. Isn't it funny that some women have to learn to love their husbands? Nobody pat each other on the back now. And I mean, I'm seeing some looks here. Women have to learn to love their husband. Sometimes he's not going to do things you think the way you ought to do it. Sometimes we may throw our clothes on the floor, including our dirty underclothes. Socks stay in the floor. They probably stink really bad. Some guys are really organized when it comes to the way that they do things, keeping the house spick and span and clean. You come in and something's a little crooked and they come up and they're like, okay, it's fixed now. You see that? That's not me. That is not me. If there is a flat surface, you know what that flat surface is for? Piling things on top of. Oh man, I think I hit a nerve on that one. I may have to back out of this one gracefully. Yeah, that's not me. I'm not. I like being organized, but I got to have some space to be able to do some organization. Some women are like, "What are you doing? What are you thinking? You mean to tell me that when you go out in the woods, you come in smelling like the woods?" Yeah. Yeah, you come in smelling like the woods. When I go fishing, when I haven't been in years, but when I'd go fishing and I'd walk back in the house, my hands would smell. Bass, crappie, brim, whatever it is, my hands smell. Why is that? That's male perfume, praise God. That's exactly what that is. Don't shake your head no at me. That's exactly right. I love fish smell. That's right. Amen. Amen. Man glitter. You know what that is? That's sawdust. I like that. That's just how we are. Ladies, you got to learn to love a guy like that because it probably ain't going to come naturally. They smell. And it's amazing, you know, when you get these young folks, they get married, you find out that she don't look like she looks at noon when she gets out of bed. There ain't no makeup, teeth ain't been brushed, and you're thinking, oh my word. Y'all remember the Scope commercial from back in the 80s where they would all roll over and they'd wake with the worst breath of the day. They'd look over, they'd go to kiss each other, like, oh, Lord, your breath stinks. They both roll out of bed and go the opposite direction. That's reality. Y'all are figuring that out. That is reality. She don't always have her makeup on. She don't always have, you know, good breath. And there are times that sometimes you're both hard to live with. Well, here's the thing. The younger women are learned from those older women that they're to love their husbands. Sometimes they have to even learn to love their children. Why did I have children? What are these people doing to me? Who are these people? These people did not come for me. Your time's coming. Y'all, your time's coming. I'm telling you, your time is coming. That's right. You're like, who are these people? We don't know who they are. That can't come from my family. It had to come from your family. They look like me but act like you. What is that all about? Oh my. Sometimes women have got to learn to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, love is effort. Love is an emotion. It is a choice. And it's work. Sometimes we men can be unlovable. Sometimes you youngins are unlovable. I know that's hard to believe, but sometimes y'all are unlovable. Hannah made me a birthday card or a Father's Day card here a couple of years ago, and it said, statistics have shown that, you remember what it said? Something about children take something after their father. She said, and so it said like children take certain traits, a certain percentage of traits after their father. And so on the inside it said, so Dad, really, I'm mostly your fault, is what it said. Sometimes we're hard to love. But here's the thing. Ladies have a full-time job of learning to make a home. Learning to love your husband. It's a full-time job. Learning to love your children. Watch this. We always think when they're small little tykes at the house. But what happens when they grow up and they do things that go against their raising, and they break your heart? The older ladies are to teach the younger ladies to love their children. You notice that there's nothing in here about devotion, nothing in here about Bible teaching, nothing in here about discipleship. I would argue that this is part of a woman's discipleship. Bible reading and prayer are assumed. But how to put those into practice, this is the practical way to do that. We could talk about discreet chaste keepers at home. There it is right there. That's the part that knocks everybody out. I get that. I know it. We can talk about that a little bit later. Here's the thing that I want to do. I'm going to finish up for tonight. Men and women are different. And when people say, well, there is no essential, no difference in men and women, I just wonder, what glasses are you looking through? I have never looked at a man and say, man, he's good looking. I've never done that. Never had that problem. Never had that problem. If you've had that problem, God help you. But when I was younger, I had no problem saying, man, she's pretty. I had no problem saying that. No problem. Why is that? Because men and women are wired differently. You hear these young ladies, oh, he's so cute, he's so dreamy, he's so handsome. Yeah. They don't say that about other girls. When they say stuff like that, there's an issue. And it's learned from society mostly. Come right down to it. It's pushed by the media. I had some very good friends growing up. Bosom buddies. I mean, strong friends getting everything together. The thought of them ever being more than a friend never crossed my mind at all. Can I get a witness on that? Hey, man. And you fellas know what I'm talking about. You were probably in a few spots where it was tight and you had some buddies you could rely on. You would have put your life in their hands. They'd have put their life in your hands. But that never was a thought.
That's right.
Never was a thought. But why is that a thought today? because it's popular, the media is pushing it, Hollywood is pushing it, and they want you to think that that's normal. That is not normal.
Right.
Amen. You take two north ends of a magnet, put them together, what do? They go opposite, they repel. Pluses and pluses repel each other, last I looked.
Right.
Pluses and minuses, they attract. Go ahead, amen. We see it in nature. God's made us different. And what we're going to look at here, why it is that we do not believe it is right for the government to tell us we need to surrender our daughters out from our home, even if they are 18 years old, to go for the military. You remember that whenever Israel wanted a king, Samuel protested and said, if you want a king, here's what it's going to be. He's going to take you boys. And they're going to fight his battles. And then he said this, he will take your daughters for bakers and confectioners. He's going to take your daughters to be cooks for the army. I don't want my daughters cooking for a man who is a complete stranger, not her husband, with no intention, no courtship, ever thinking about that man being her husband. I love my daughters too much. And what we as a church talked about several years ago is putting a resolution regarding women in the military onto the books of the church as part of our bylaws, saying that women are prohibited from military service and being taken away in a draft. And we're going to look at that biblically speaking. And I know we've had a little bit of humor tonight. We've actually looked at the text a little bit further tonight than what I really wanted to do, but it helped us out some. But I have no problem taking these messages, Brother Cole, setting them aside, earmarking them some way. Women in the military, number one. Women in the military, number two. God's plan for women, whatever we want to call it, to where somebody can say, why do you believe what you believe? I have no problem sitting down at a table with an open Bible and telling somebody what I believe. I have no problem with that. And you young ladies, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, here's what possibly could happen. There were men taken off in World War II. They had just gotten married. They found out there was a baby on the way, but they got drafted because the Germans and the Japanese were bad dudes who had to be defeated, so they had to take married men off. What in the world would happen? What would happen? Instead of the military coming and saying, David Fields, we need you, they said, no, we don't want David Fields. We want his wife.
Good luck.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yes, sir. And that's the way every man ought to feel. It'll be a cold day in Jamaica in August. That's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah, you got 5.56 reasons not to do that.
Amen.
Amen. And we can give you 9 more. Times 15. Yeah, 45 reasons. That's right. That's right. That's right. You don't put 30 rounds in the magazines. You put 29. The math's a little more difficult that way, but still yet it works. You know what I'm saying? Amen. What's going to happen? Now, that may be a reality one of these days. I have gotten in trouble in the church here for preaching this subject and what we're going to be discussing. We've had people who got upset because I will tell you plainly, the Bible knows nothing of a woman holding an M16 overseas in her hand.
Right.
Now, she needs to hold an AR-15 in her own doorway. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yes. Teach them how to shoot.
Right.
She needs to know how to shoot. Long range, death from afar. That's right. I have no problem with that. I'm not some werewart. I'm not some overly zealous prepper. I just believe in being a Boy Scout and being prepared. The Bible knows nothing about women serving in the military. The Bible knows nothing about that whatsoever. I got an illustration I'll give you here in a minute. I don't want to give it out but while we're on the air. I'll give it to you here in a second. Just a particular instance that I shook my head at. But the role of a Christian woman is to be, if she's married, is to be a wife, is to be a mother. That's her role. And young ladies,
you who are still, you know, Miss Dixie, right there you are, amen. And Miss Olivia, I know you're still living at home and all. I know you're still there under the house. And I see, yep, I don't see anybody else. Yeah, you're married off, Ashley, so you're out of this. So you young ladies, when you reach that age, you're still under the headship and the protection of your father. He's looking out for you. He's watching out for you. He's making sure that you're taken care of. And yes, you may be of age, but as far as God is concerned, your father is still your head until he puts your hand in the hand of another man. And you say your vows and you become his wife. So 3 months ago, Ashley, what I'm saying would apply every bit to you. It don't apply anymore. God has an order and a plan for all of our lives, a role for us to play. And if we want to be where God wants us to be and be in the perfect will of God for our lives, and that's important for Christians, we don't want to go another direction that God wouldn't want us in. All right? Amen. Well, we'll stop there for tonight. We'll come back.